Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Dive off into the study of your word tonight. We're asking you to give us clarity in hearing. Give me clarity in speaking. Give us all clarity in understanding. Help us to boldly go where we've never gone before. Father, will you break us out of a religious routine and cause us to step into a deeper flow of your revelation. Help us to see things we've never seen before, hear things we've never heard before, embrace things we've never embraced before, so that we can be the child of God you've destined for us to be and you're summoning us to be. We thank you that you're calling us to new territories in the name of Jesus. And so we give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for what will be said and done in your name to your glory. And I decree and declare our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. When I left on Resurrection Sunday, the message that I preached was entitled, Arise, Arise. You can go back and listen to it on our website, on the sermons page, or you can even listen to it from the YouTube channel. And so on Resurrection Sunday, I was talking from this revelation, arise. It was the one word I heard from God in this season. And then even as we were coming back from out of town, coming back home, he gave me a phrase. I'm not going to share that phrase with you tonight. I'll talk about it next week. I'll talk about it when I'm in Canada and then when I'm before the people here in Buffalo so that we can embark upon a journey that will cause us to experience a measure of elevation. But that's for next week. Tonight, I want to build on the revelation that the Lord had me share on Resurrection Sunday from the word arise. That's what our subject tonight. So this is Arise Part 2. Even though on Resurrection Sunday I started my scripture text from a different passage, tonight we're going to use Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Now, as we read this, I know Isaiah chapter 60 is familiar to a lot of us. And if you've been around any church for any length of time, you've heard a preacher or two come to Isaiah chapter 60 and speak prophetically from this prophetic word about the times that we're living in. Now, as we read it tonight, I want you to take into consideration what I've already said before you. Think about those in Canada. Think about the Canadian elections. Think about the letdown that many Christians felt from the outcome of the elections. Think about how discouraging some are feeling, and they're having to overcome this attack of discouragement. And then those of you in the U.S., think about what is happening in our nation. Think about the conflict and the confusion and the crisis that's coming from from the political agendas, the different things that's been said and done from the White House that's causing just turmoil and different things. So I want you to think about all of that in both countries as we read Isaiah chapter 60, because this is for the day that we live in. But remember, we're talking about the word arise. So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, I'm reading from the King James Bible, and it says this: arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now think about all that I just mentioned. Think about all that's going on. There's even more that I did not mention that's happening today. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So no matter that there's a darkness covering the earth, there is a deeper level of darkness upon people. How people are treating one another, what they're doing in one another. I mean, just think about this. How can someone in their right mind be involved in sex trafficking, child trafficking? How? But it's happening. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, to thy light, and kings, people in authority, to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentile, talking about the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Wow. All of this is happening in the midst of darkness covering the earth and gross darkness being upon the people. Yet we see a move of God. And watch this. This move of God is not apart from you. This move of God is happening through you. It includes you and I. We're part of the move. We're not those who are watchers on the sideline, standing by and watching the move of God. We're part of the move. And so these six verses that we read speak about a lot of things. And this is why we have to catch this revelation about arise. Now, when I preached it, on Resurrection Sunday, I share with them that the word arise means to get up. It means to get up. It means to stand up. It means also to change your posture and your position and status. Changing my posture, my status, my position, that requires me to change my approach to life. I have to change how I approach my life. You have to change how you've been approaching life and do what the Bible says, arise. Stand up, step up, get up, rise up. And watch this, and not be caught in the midst of the darkness that's going on. See, the Bible isn't denying that there's darkness. What the Bible does is says, in spite of the darkness, God says, I'm light and I'm still yet moving, and my people are moving with me. And that includes you and I. That's why you can't talk like everybody else talk. That's why you can't get down like everybody else get down. That's why you can't respond like everybody else respond. You have a kingdom responsibility to respond to the assignment that God has given the body of Christ for our generation. Because I said this earlier, you're being watched at all times. People in the natural, in the physical, are watching you. Yeah, they're watching how you carry yourself. They're watching how you respond to news, good news and bad news. They're watching. You're being watched all the time. You're being watched how you go through challenges, how you go through situations, how you go through circumstances. You're being watched. See, some Christians, I'm not going to say you, I'm saying some Christians think that they can just go talk to people and call it witnessing for Jesus, but then they don't know how to be Jesus when they're doing life. And so people not responding to their witness because they're killing their witness by what they're displaying. Watch this. Another definition for the word arise is to emerge, an emergence. And the word emerge means to make known. So when the Bible says arise here, it's saying emerge. Rise up, emerge. Make known what's on the inside of you. Make known who you are. Make known who you believe. Make known what you believe. Make known what you stand for. Make known. See, emerge. Emerge. Emerge also means to manifest. And so you have to understand that God is now summoning the body of Christ to another depth of glory. You're being called. Even though we read the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that talks about that we go from glory to glory, a lot of Christians don't want to embrace or accept the responsibility of what going to another level of glory calls for. They want to remain the same. They want everybody to understand where they are and how why they feel like they feel because they're going through. I want to know when are they going to get through and be the member of the body of Christ that Jesus died for them to be. Arise. The Amplified Classic says of this, just verse one, Amplified Classic of verse one, it says, watch this. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. What? So that tells me that circumstances are geared to keep some people captive who don't know how to arise. Let me read Amplified Classic again. Arise from the depression. Have you been depressed lately? What are you depressed about? Why have you allowed yourself to get depressed? Okay, if you're not depressed, discouraged. What What have you been discouraged about? Has Jesus lied to you? Did Jesus step off the throne and give it to somebody else? Is God not faithful? Does God not love you? So what have you really been discouraged about? Or is it that you've been depressed and discouraged because you haven't been doing what faith requires to keep yourself sharp, to keep yourself strong, to keep yourself stable, to keep yourself secure? Come on, come on. Keep a marker at Isaiah 60. Flip over real quick. This just came into my heart. 1 Peter chapter 5. Come on. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Verse number 8 and 9. Be sober. That means to be alert. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So that means that he can't devour anybody. He has to find the one who is not vigilant, the one who is not sober-minded, the one who's not alert, the one who's not doing their due diligence to stay sharp, the one who is not governing their free time correctly, and the one who is not yielding to the Spirit of God on a daily basis. Those are the ones that the adversary can devour. Look what it says, verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I can hear where they are in their faith. I can hear whether or not they've been resisting steadfastly and standing their ground. I can hear it. You can hear the spirit of faith in a person's voice. You can see the spirit of faith in a person's demeanor, how they carry themselves. Oh, listen. They think that Hollywood has the best actors. No, the best actors and actresses are in the church because people have been playing the game called pretend for a long time. Yeah, they pretend that they're spiritually strong. They pretend that they are connected to God. They play this pretend because they want to be accepted. They want to be approved of in a church setting, but they don't know how to get victory in life. Look at this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I remember the time years ago. This was years ago. Come on, everybody say years ago. Years ago, God jerked the slack out of me. He said, Mark, what you crying about? And I was complaining and talking to him about what I was going through. He says, all the other members of the body of Christ are going through the same thing. I said, no, they can't be going through what I'm going through. This is different. And see, that's how the adversary always wants you to feel like what you're going through is so unique. Nobody else could go through this. He wants you to feel so isolated and so alone, and nobody understands me, and nobody cares for me, and nobody wants to take the time to help me. And the reason why he wants you to feel like that is so he can devour you. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 60. So we got to do our due diligence. So I want to read verse 1 again from the Amplified Classic. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Don't let your circumstances knock you down. Don't let what's happening to you and what's happening around you affect you so much that it depresses you. Come on. You got more faith than that. You believe God's stronger than that. And then it went on to say, it says, and I love this, it says, rise to a new life. That means I got to do something. I can't wait on something to happen. I got to make something happen. Rise to a new life. It says, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So one of the things that we've got to understand, we're going to look at what Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6 talk about and pull some things from it, because it gives us and reveals to us certain things that we need to do to arise. But I want to help you. When you're facing situations and circumstances that are trying to discourage you, defeat you, depress you, deflate you, I want to give you three things that you have to do. Number one, you ready to write? Number one, don't look at the disappointments you may be facing. Look instead at the possibilities. Don't look at the disappointments you may be facing. Look at the possibilities. Come on, you got to write it down. You got to get this. You got to get this. Let me say it again. Don't look at the disappointments that you may be facing. Don't look at something that's disappointing you. Don't look at something that's discouraging you. Don't look at something that's depressing you. Don't look at the disappointments you may be facing. Look instead at the possibilities. Faith says all things are possible. You can't be in the body of Christ and not think possibilities. So don't look at the disappointments you may be facing. Instead, look instead at the possibilities. That's what arising calls for. Look at the possibilities. What's possible? What's possible? What's possible for me? What's possible? I don't want nobody around me talking mealy-mouthed and talking weak and talking the problem and talking what won't work and what's not working. And I can't do this because this happened to me, or I can't do that because that happened to me, or I can't do this because these people are against me and they won't let me. Then look at what's possible for you. Look at the possibilities. Become possibility-minded. Arise, for thy light has come. That light he's talking about, I'm getting ahead of myself, that's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It says glory upon you to elevate you beyond what's trying to hold you back and hold you down. Jesus, I give you praise. Number two, when you're facing situations and circumstances that's trying to discourage you and depress you, defeat you and deflate you, don't look at the hindrances you may be experiencing. Look at the opportunities. Faith always sees opportunities. Did you know that? So let me say it again. Don't look at the hindrances. Stop looking at things. Oh, this is hindering me, and these people are hindering me, and this person don't like me, and I'm not getting a break here. Don't look at the hindrances. Arise. Don't look at the hindrances you may be experiencing. Look at the opportunities. Wow. Okay. Number three. Don't look at the impossibilities. Look at the, watch this, look at the capabilities, probabilities, and dream moments God has given you. I'll say it again for you. Don't look at the impossibilities. Instead, look at the capabilities. What's capable? What can you do? Look at the probabilities. If I make this move, things are going to change in my favor. See, why is it probable? Because it's possible. Look at the capabilities, probabilities, and the dream moments that God is giving you. God, listen, Jesus, I give you praise. Can I share a little word with you from the Lord? God says, dream big, because I can handle it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Stop shutting down your dreams. Dream big. The Canadian government can't stop your dreams. The U.S. government can't stop your dreams. Dream big, God says. I can handle it. None of us can come up with a dream that'll cause God to shake. All God says is that all? Mark, is that all you can dream? Is that all you see, son? Remember, son, all that I have is already yours. Dream big. I can handle it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You should have said hallelujah right there. So, number three again, don't look at the impossibilities. Instead, look at the capabilities, the probabilities, and the dream moments that God is giving you. Now, in order to understand arise, because look back at Isaiah 60. Look back at Isaiah 60, because he says, arise, shine. You're not going to arise and shine if you're talking doom and gloom, if you're talking like everybody else is talking. If you're talking the problem, the pressure, the pain, the predicament, the perplexity. If you're talking all what the political agenda is. Oh, man, look what our future is going to be. It doesn't look good for us. If you're talking all of that, you're not going to arise and you're not going to shine. Because why would God want to shine a light on you who claim to believe in Jesus and you talking like that and Jesus don't talk like that? So he don't want to shine the light on you. You talking wrong, thinking wrong, believing wrong, confessing wrong, and expecting wrong? No, that's not shining. He says, thy light has come. Well, in order to understand this, you got to understand that you have been given resurrection power. Now, come on, Mario, share the screen. I want to just share this definition of resurrection power with you through a PowerPoint because I want everybody to get it. You got to get this. You got to get this. Glory to God. Resurrection power. Resurrection power, this is what causes you and I to arise, and this is why you never attach your identity to an outcome of a thing. Come on, hear me now. You don't attach your identity to the outcome of a thing. You don't even attach your identity, glory to God, or you don't attach your happiness or your joy or your peace of mind and peace of heart to the outcome of a thing. Why? Because of resurrection power. Resurrection power is the quickening ability. Come on, everybody say quickening ability. Resurrection power is the quickening ability and power of God to overcome, look at this, deadness. So I can overcome any dead thing that the adversary tries to put in my life. It's the quickening ability and power of God to overcome deadness, to overcome drought. So I don't have to give in to dry spells. There's nothing dry about my life and your life. It's the quickening ability and power of God to overcome deadness, to overcome droughts, to overcome delays. Every delay is in your favor. Jesus, I give you praise. To overcome deficits. So you don't have to ever feel like you don't have enough of something. Oh, I don't know enough. Oh, I can't read good. I can't talk good. I don't have enough confidence. Resurrection power causes you to overcome deficits, to overcome dormancy, to overcome depression, to overcome discouragements, and to overcome despair. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because resurrection power is an anointing of the Holy Ghost to destroy yokes and remove burdens. My brothers and sisters, you got to believe in what God has put on the inside of you. Come on. Just put a marker at Isaiah 60 and go quickly to Romans chapter 6. Come on, Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 4 and 5. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. I'm reading from the King James Bible. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What is this newness of life he's talking about that we should walk in? It's a glory walk. It's a walk where we should be experiencing and expecting the glory of God because of the resurrection power in our lives. Look at the verse again. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. So in the mind and heart of God, when Jesus was buried, God saw you and I buried also. And so we were baptized into his death. And then watch this. Christ is not Jesus' last name, just like the anointed one was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, or the anointing of the Father, or the quickening resurrection ability of God. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. This is why you got to stop talking that doom and gloom stuff. This is why you got to stop giving in to discouragement, depression, and despair. This is why you got to stop acting defeated, thinking defeated, and understand that you should always have a faith demeanor that's strong because you're walking in newness of life. Arise! Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his, there it is, resurrection. Some Christians look at these two verses and thinking, oh, he had me baptized into his death, and now I'm in the likeness of his resurrection to go to church. That's how they view that. Are they crazy? This ain't no church verse. See, this has nothing to do with being religious. This is about life. So you got to understand that resurrection power is the quickening ability and power of God to overcome deadness, to overcome drought, to overcome delays, to overcome deficits, to overcome dormancy, to overcome depression, to overcome discouragements, and to overcome despair. Come on, man. So that lets us know, watch this, that you have to look at the word quicken. Now, quickly, go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Quickly. Romans chapter 8, before I read this next page on my PowerPoint. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, very familiar verse. From the King James Bible, it says, Romans 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, stop. We just read in Romans 6 that it was the glory of the Father that raised Jesus. Now here it says it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus. He's the one who has this resurrection quickening ability. Look what it says, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now stop. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. How can I act defeated? How can I be discouraged? Discouraged about what? How can I give in to depression? What? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me, and he never takes vacation. Look at this. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, the anointed one, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, if he's quickening my mortal body, he's also quickening my mind, my will, my emotions, my memory, and my imagination. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, we got to get rid of this defeated attitude that some Christians have adopted to operate from, and they think it's okay to operate like that. No. No. You know, you'll talk to some Christians and they'll say things, and they'll try to speak something on you, and you say, oh, no, that's not me. Oh, no, I don't get that. And they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, right, that's right. We got to watch our words. They refer to it flippantly like it doesn't matter. They don't understand about this resurrection power business. They don't understand about this quickening ability. Look at this. Look on your page. Look on your screen. The word quicken means to make alive. You know that. But you also got to understand this, that the word quicken means to bring something or someone to a flourishing place. How are you going to get discouraged? And the same Spirit that quickened Jesus, made him alive, caused him to rise from the dead, is dwelling on the inside of you and bringing you to a flourishing place. It means to bring to a flourishing place or to establish someone or something in a flourishing position. Wow. And it also means to release a flourishing power upon someone or upon something. Quicken. So this flourishing place is called the quickened position. There's no gloom in my future, brother. There's no sadness in my future, sister. Uh-uh. I got too much going on the inside of me from God Almighty to be looking for my future to be gloom and doom. This flourishing place is called the quickened position. It's an activation. Come on, say activation. That means it's bringing something, it's making something happen. It's an activation that activates divine empowerment, divine enlightenment, and divine establishment. Jesus. Resurrection power is this anointing of the Holy Ghost to destroy yokes and remove burdens, like I just mentioned. So John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said this from the King James Bible. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Holy Spirit quickens. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words have this quickening ability, and he wants your words and my words to have this same quickening ability. That's why you got to watch what you say to others, what you say to yourself inwardly. This quickening can empower you to have a faith and have a confidence and have an assurance that God is with you, that God is for you, that God will answer you, that God will deliver you, and that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how in the world can you hear reports from the newscasters and you get down about it when you understand you're walking in newness of life carrying this? You should be so overwhelmed by this that what a newscaster say don't touch you. It washes off of you like water off of a duck's back. You got to know who you are and whose you are. Come on, brother. So let me show you these scriptures about this quickening ability. And I'm only looking at it from the King James Version. Other scriptures talk about being alive. It goes ahead and defines the word quicken, but I love to see the word quicken because it does something to my mindset. So, come on, brother. Stay with me. Yeah, there we go. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 from the King James Version says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And see, some Christians look at this and say, "Oh yeah, he quickened me so I can be able to go to church and not feel guilty about how I used to sin." Are you crazy? That is not what that means. You got to understand the supernatural aspect behind that. Jesus didn't die so you can be religious. Jesus died so that you can live supernaturally. Look at Psalms 119, 154 there from the King James Bible. The psalmist said, "Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word." So now when I hear the word of God spoken, when I hear the word of God taught or preached, I can expect to be quickened. That's why God dealt with me about establishing the E3 culture. He says, help people change and renew their minds, Mark, so it'll break them out of the religious hold that is handcuffing them to being stuck in life. Let them know that they're coming to be empowered. Let them know they're coming to be equipped. Let them know they're coming to be elevated. And I'll do it, son. See, quicken me according to thy word. Look at Psalms 119, verse 159 there on your screen. It says, "Consider how I love thy precepts." So his precepts are the standards and the principles of his word. "Consider how I love your word," your precepts. "Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." How much does God love you? How much does God love you and I? He says we can expect to be quickened according to God's loving kindness. Come on, how can you get down now? You have to flat out close your Bible and refuse to look at it to not believe this stuff, man. Look at Psalms 119, verse 107. The psalmist said, "I am afflicted very much." So he's talking about what he's going through. So watch what he expects God to do. "Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." That's going to change the affliction that he's going through. He's going to be quickened. So you got to understand, the quickening of the Holy Spirit gives birth to divine knowings of the Spirit of God within you. He'll quicken you to have some knowings. He'll awaken you to some things. He'll make you aware of some things. This quickening is a strength, an awakening, and an activation. This quickening takes place so God can harden us to difficulties, fortify us against the challenges and adversities that we may face, and it'll cause God to strengthen us to rise above anything the devil brings against us. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the thing that's coming against you now will not weaken you nor wear you down in the name of Jesus. All right, Mario, you can stop sharing. So, I came tonight to tell you to arise. Arise. Let me close this out, because I've given you a lot. And my prayer is that you will move to a place where you're expecting God to show up. Let's end with this. Go to Luke chapter 7 in your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 7. We'll end here. This is a good place to end. Did you get blessed tonight? You got ministered to? I'm speaking to every dead area in your life to come alive in Jesus' name. I command every, are you listening to me? I command every dead area in your life to be quickened in the mighty name of Jesus. You hear me? I'm calling for things to be different. And it's going to start with your perspective. I know I wasn't able to get back to Isaiah 60 to show you certain things there. Maybe we'll look at it next Thursday when I'm in Canada. But I want you to see this, because God is at this place where he's tired of us celebrating Resurrection Sunday, but we're not living like resurrected people. We're not living in resurrection power. Why aren't we doing that? Why are we accepting what the world is dishing out? Why are we accepting what our circumstances and situations are dishing out to us? Why are we, and you, even though you hear me say all the time, you can't take authority over whatever you accept. If you accept it, you can't take authority. When are we going to walk in newness of life at another level? And some Christians, they're not serious enough, man. They're satisfied with playing the church game, going to church, doing my little duty, waving at everybody. We're smiling. We're happy. We're doing that. We're doing, you know, but we're not going to another level of glory. So my question is, in your world, in your sphere of influence, who's in that sphere of influence willing to pay the price to push to a level of glory that can encompass others who don't know how to get there? That's right. You are a catalyst for another person's breakthrough. You are a catalyst for another person's miracle. You are. That's what you see in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. You see him talking about the influence that you're going to have. And people be drawn to your light. Somebody got to pay the price for others instead of just living life for themselves. That's why I guard my free time. That's why I got to stay sharp. I'm not just doing it for you. There's other people out there. And I'm thanking the Lord all the time. Thank you for bringing them across my path. Thank you for bringing them across my path, bringing me across their path. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. And you know, there are some Christians, man, they just satisfied. Go to work, go to church, make sure I get a check, buy what I want to buy when I want to buy it. I'm going home, do my own thing. And that's the extent of their lives. If you were to ask them, how many people this year, here we are in the month of May, how many people this year have you caused a breakthrough for? Hear me. For some, it won't be many. Because they're not looking to make a difference like that. I don't know what Bible they're reading. He has sent us out into the whole world to make a difference, to be a supernatural solution for another person's natural problem. That's why we go to church, to be trained to do that. That's why we study the Word of God. I am, you are, we are supernatural solutions for another person's natural problem. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 7, you there? Look at verse 11. 11 through 15, we'll end here. I'm reading from the King James Bible, and it says, "And it came to pass the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow." So her husband already died, and now she's experiencing the death of her son. "And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. He had compassion on her and said to her, 'Weep not.' And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. We're ending with this. Jesus saw this woman experiencing the death of her son. Deadness had hit her family again. If we fast forward this to today's Christian, some would have been with the people who were with her, grieving with her, and they say, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We're praying for you. We understand we're praying for you, but they're not willing to make a difference. My brothers and sisters, this from this passage of scripture, the Lord want you to catch the anointing and the impartation from this to where you will speak the word arise to the deadness in other people's lives instead of allowing it to linger, instead of allowing it to continue, instead of allowing the deadness to conquer her life, and that's all it will be for her future. This is why you can't act like everybody else. Jesus didn't act like everybody else. He made a difference. See, when you read the scripture, you're looking at him raising her son from the dead, and that is a miraculous. That is miraculous. That is the miracle. But what do you do when you see someone's joy who's dead? We were in Texas, and a young man there, he had got stopped by the police, and he didn't have his license on him and everything, so he was driving without a license. He had a license. And then he didn't see the police behind him. And when he got stopped, the police commanded him to get out the car and they threw him on the ground, treated him rough. And he was trying to apologize. I didn't see you. But they looked at it like he was trying to avoid them. So this is a young black man. And this was a white policeman and a Hispanic policeman. So they dogged the brother out. And because of this, now he worked for the school system, and now the school system, the Board of Education in the city, told him he couldn't come to work till this was resolved. And it's been 30 days now, over just about a month, no, 3.5 weeks. And they still haven't brought his court case. So his supervisor, well, before all this happened, so he was down, discouraged, depressed, and ready to give up. And I happened to be present when he called his father. I said, let me speak to him. And I spoke life. This word arise was resonating in my spirit. And I told him, you're rising up. So I spoke several things, and I didn't pray. It wasn't a time necessarily to pray. This was a time to decree and declare for this deadness to leave this young man's life. We're not denying that this happened to you, young man, but we're going to defy it, and it's going to be turned in your favor. And so it was a lot of things that I said. I don't recall everything right now. When I got off the phone, his father turned to me and thanked me for speaking. Thank you for speaking to my son. Thank you for speaking to my son. Normally, the Board of Education wouldn't hold your job. After this, the Father calls me. Now I'm back in Buffalo now, and the Father calls me and says, I got good news. The supervisor called my son and told him. First he asked him, when are you coming back to work? When is this going to be resolved? Now the young man's spirits were lifted, but then watch what just happened. And then the manager said, we're going to hold your job for you. And while they have you off, we're going to pay you. Ah, glory to God. The dad was saying, I'm so glad you spoke life to my son. I'm so glad you spoke to him. I'm so glad things changed. It's because of what you said to him. Well, all I'm doing is representing the kingdom. It's not what I did. It's what Jesus did. But Jesus needed someone who will not accept the deadness that occurred and leaving this young man in a dead state. And so what about you? There's somebody who's in your circle of influence that God wants you to speak life to. But you got to stop being so familiar with people to where you can't speak life to people. And then you can't speak life mealy-mouthed. You got to speak with some fire in your voice. He delivered this son to his mother. He changed the trajectory of her destiny. Death thought it had another candidate. It was trying to get two for one, the mother's son and the mother's future. Jesus changed it. And now he wants to use you and I. And I'm not saying that you haven't prayed for people before. That's not what I'm saying. And I pray that you hear my heart. God wants you to go to another level of glory. That's what I want you to hear. Are you willing to pay the price to do so? And it's going to call for you to govern your free time, to keep yourself spiritually sharp, to maintain your focus. Glory to God. Hearing the word so that the spirit of faith can stay alive in you and stop trying to live off of what you heard and start living off of what you are presently hearing. You listening to me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to be different, Daddy. We want to be different. Glory to God. We understand that change isn't change until we change. We not only want to be different, we want to be difference makers for others in the name of Jesus. We got family members who's experiencing deadness in their lives. Some are experiencing deadness in their bodies. They're suffering with swelling in their bodies. They're suffering with atrophy in their bodies. They're suffering with neuropathy in their bodies. Father, that's symptoms of deadness. And Father, we want to be a catalyst for their breakthrough, a catalyst for their deliverance. There's some suffering with deadness in their attitudes. The spark for their lives are gone. Their inspiration is not there. Their creativity is gone. They're just going through the motions. Father, give us the word. First and foremost, we ask for you to give us the compassion. A compassion that makes a demand on the miraculous. Give us a compassion to pay the price. Give us a compassion to move first and not wait. Give us a compassion not to be afraid. Give us a compassion to move toward people. Speak life to people. Get in the foxhole with others to let them know that they're not by themselves. I pray that, Father, that you'll change us and cause us to yield to you. We want that next level of glory. Can you say that right where you are? Say, Lord, I want that next level of glory. Say it again. Lord, I want that next level of glory. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want that next level of glory. In the name of Jesus. For my family, I got to have it. For my friends, I got to have it. For my coworkers, I got to have it. For my neighbors, I got to have it. For my church members, I got to have it. I want that next level of glory in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, All God's people say amen. Come on, put those hands together. Give God some praise.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.